Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go.
You're listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on August 23rd, 2017. My guest today is a professional software developer and host of the Pete on Software podcast. Pete Shearer, welcome back. How are you?
I am fine and dandy and happy to be here on your podcast.
Thanks for being on. We really haven't talked in a while. Where are you working these days?
Since March of this year, I've been the CTO of a startup company called RxBridge. We describe RxBridge as a technology company that happens to function as a pharmacy benefits manager in the workers' compensation space. Right now, we're basically full steam ahead trying to get all of our technology in order and herd everything together to finish up as we go live with clients here pretty soon.
So what on earth made you want to be the founder of a startup?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's funny, you know, in some circles, founding a startup seems like basically the coolest thing you can do. You know, you have shows like HBO's Silicon Valley, Betas on Amazon, The Social Network movie, Gimlet's startup podcast, sites like Hacker News, make it seem glamorous. But honestly, I didn't necessarily want to be a co-founder. It wasn't a goal of mine. Being involved in a startup at the early stage wasn't, you know, something I wanted to do. But what I did want to do is what I've always wanted to do. And what I told recruiters is that I'm looking to do all the time was I want to solve interesting problems with interesting people using interesting technology. So in this case, I was ultimately approached with an opportunity to do just that in an area that I'm knowledgeable and passionate about and that have an ability to possibly really make a difference. So I couldn't say no.
So you mentioned Silicon Valley, and that's a show that makes it seem to me like I would not ever want to be part of a early stage startup like that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's definitely ups and downs, but there's people who look at it and they look at some of the party life part of it where, you know, they're being involved, you know, when the, not some of the downs, you know, where Richard or someone, you know, makes some big mistakes. But if you look at some of the mystique around some of the rest of it where it's parties, you know, the way the show started, even, you know, they were at a party and, you know, trying to make stuff happen. And it's in the way they make it look where these people, you know, Gavin Belson turns and creates Hooli and it becomes this big $1 billion thing. And that seems like the obvious exit. You know, you're going to be like HubSpot or even here in Columbus to be like Cover My Meds. You know, we're going to start scrappy and then we're going to have a $1 billion exit. And that's just really not reality in most times.
Can you recall maybe a specific event that pushed you towards joining this startup or even wanting to be in a startup?
Like most people, you know, especially if you're a little type A like I am as far as pushing that sort of thing, I'd be in a job and I would think, how could I do things differently or better than if I had, like if it was my way or the highway, then how could I be better? So no matter where I was, I do always act like the company is my company, whether or not I actually have that say. If we spend money, I spend it like it's my personal money. I treat the clients, the people that we interact with, like they were my personal clients, like it's my name on the line, you know, not some previous company. Because of that, I built up a good relationship with a lot of folks when I worked in work comp previously. But now there's been a lot of acquisitions in the space in the last few years, and there's a big vacuum that opened up. Clients that aren't mega clients aren't being well served. And these are the people that I had been involved in doing good work for them in the past. And some of them reached out to myself and my co-founder and asked them where we'd ended up because they were looking for the kind of service and technical flexibility we had given them in the past with our solutions. But then finally, just all those things had been happening in the background. But then someone had come to us and said they could help us get started along and, you know, back us and believe that we could deliver on our vision and promise. And at that point, it was either put up or shut up for me. So I'm putting up and trying to give it my all.
Wow. Is this someone you knew before or just someone who came out of the blue?
The investor?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a previous relationship my partner had, someone he had known, and he had an exit somewhere else and was looking for something else to be involved in. Just conversations led to where they did, and here we are.
So you've been running a startup here for around 6 months. What is the most surprising thing you've learned so far?
It's that there isn't a single glamorous thing about it so far. You know, I knew it would be a lot of work. There's no doubt that it was going to be a lot of work. I had no illusions about that whatsoever. What I didn't really know or understand was all the things that I didn't even think about. Like to get started, my partner and I toured a ton of office space to try to find something affordable, convenient, and attractive enough that people would want to come and work here. And then we had to shop for furniture, desks, and chairs. Nothing too insane. Everybody figures you need an office and desks. That should be expected. Well, what I didn't consider was that we had to buy and install blinds for the windows. We had to buy trash cans, liners, toilet paper, plungers, hand soap, toilet brushes, fake plants, stuff to hang on the walls. Like all that stuff that you don't think about necessarily. It's almost like moving into a house when you owned nothing to start and you have to buy every cleaning supply, everything to start. And you know, beyond that, there's the second part, which was not the things that we needed, but the culture that we needed to create. What's our vacation policy? What's our dress code? Are we allowing pets in the office? Can anyone put beer in the fridge? What kind of people mix are we going to hire? Is it all senior talent? Is it all junior talent, mid-level, one senior, two mids, five juniors? Who do we work with to find those people? Is it reaching out on our own? Is it going to conferences? Is it working with recruiters? I'll tell you, we did all three actually as we were looking for people. After that, it was every decision you have to make from a technology standpoint. It's easy enough to sit there and say, oh, you know, I do this or I do that, or why don't we just use, you know, Mongo, it's web scale or whatever. But then when it comes time to actually make a decision that's going to impact things, you know, you have to be a little more serious sometimes. Like, where are we hosting? What server technology, DB technology, front end paradigm? What frameworks or libraries? You know, so many decisions that once you make the decisions, you set things into motion that you can't easily get out of. You know, the paradox of choice can actually paralyze you if you aren't careful. The best advice that I got was from my friend Jeff, who encouraged me along the way and said, just make a choice, stick with it. Everything I was considering was valid. He kind of validated me on that point and said, you know, these are all good choices. Just make one and go forward. Stop spinning your wheels a little bit. So I took that to heart. I chose what I was leaning toward and I haven't looked back.
Wow. So every single one of those decisions, we could probably spend a whole podcast on, especially the fake plants one. But
yeah, exactly.
But one that is kind of near and dear to me that you mentioned already is just a decision to even have office space.
Mm-hmm.
Considering that you're making software here, did you consider, you know, having a remote-based company, you know, with no office or no central location? Did you ever consider that route? And why didn't you go that route?
Yeah, so that was definitely a consideration, and it's how we functioned at the beginning as we were trying to find the space and everything that we had. We squatted some space from some people, and we worked from home. But the big thing there was, number one, we felt like there was a lot of collaboration we needed to do that we weren't prepared or experienced enough with yet to do some of the work remotely to really get the collaboration. On top of that, there is an aspect of this where once we build the software, part of the component of what we're doing does involve a call center to a certain degree. So we're building a software as much as possible to be self-service, but there is still an amount when they'd have to call. And so we looked at some solutions to do soft phones and some different ways that you can remotely have these workers, call center workers, work remotely. But in the end, we just ultimately decided on an office just from, honestly, it's what we're most comfortable with. So we kind of went that way.
All those decisions you made, a lot of stuff to consider there. What would you say is the worst thing in the last 6 months about running a startup?
On this one, I'm going to take a risk a little bit and be kind of transparently honest. But I'll tell you what the worst thing is, waking up completely freaked out at 3 a.m. because you're worried that you're going to run out of money before you're cash flow positive, that you've made choices that are going to sink your company and seriously set back the people who believed in you enough to leave their more secure jobs, you know, such as that is, because they think something of you. I'm basically scared every day that I'm going to like let them down, and I get freaked out for a couple minutes. And then I remember the only way to make sure that I don't actually let them down is to stay on my grind and control what I can and get moving. And so, you know, inaction is what's going to end up hurting them more than anything else. So I've got to do that. But I have woken up several times in the middle of the night, like freaked out, like, oh my gosh, what about this? What about that? What about this? That's probably the worst for me.
Okay. Is that getting any better as you go?
A little bit. There's actually a developer we brought on here who's, since he's come in, we've made a lot of good progress on some things that we were just, the pipeline didn't allow us to do with just the bandwidth of only me at the time. Getting him in has helped a lot. We've made a lot of progress, visible progress too. We went from almost nothing to be shown to some stuff we can really show people, demo. I got some proof of concepts of some mobile pieces. And so all of a sudden, it's starting to look a lot better. It makes you feel better. It feels like, okay, all this will work. It is working. You're making good choices. It's getting better to a certain degree. I have not actually woke up in the middle of the night, at least in the month of August, I don't think.
Okay. We've already covered the fake plants and the waking up at 3 a.m. What's the best thing about running a startup?
The freedom, to a certain degree. It could be scary to have freedom, but it's also pretty cool that I can do whatever I want. I don't have to ask anyone's permission if I think it's a good idea to spend $100 on some tool or $500 on some training I think is going to help us. When you have a new company, it's not mired in the layers of bureaucracy and policies to prevent things like that. I get 47 sign-offs in triplicate, notarized. I don't have to do that, right? If it's a great idea for me to add a feature to an application, which I actually did, I decided to implement some features with Twilio. I felt like there were some things we could do there. You know, I just brought it up. Everyone's like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Boom, let's do it, right? And I put it in there. I didn't have to do a change management thing where five people from the business had to sign off. You know, at the point of the business we are right now, we are the business. My sign-off's good enough. The kind of creativity and expression that that engenders is pretty cool. The backside of the freedom is that I have the freedom to screw everything up. So I try to be sober and responsible about that. Like, our office furniture is used. We don't have gold-plated foosball tables. We don't throw lavish parties at Alcatraz or anything, but it's still pretty cool to be able to do whatever I want.
That's a Silicon Valley reference. Go watch it. So if you could go back in time, would you have started this company sooner or any startup sooner? And if so, what held you back?
I've done a couple of businesses previous to this. They weren't on the startup level, though, and I wouldn't really consider them a startup. I had a business where I went around and fixed people's computers, like Help Wizards or PC On Call. I had my own consulting where I was an independent consultant and I had to do certain business things. So I definitely learned some things about running a business, filing taxes certain ways and incorporating things like that. But I'll tell you what, I would not have started this company or even a startup in the same kind of vein sooner. I honestly feel like I needed to be exactly who I was when this happened in order to do it. I don't think Pete from a year ago would have been the right person for the job. I was probably close, obviously, you know, a year away, but I feel like I needed to grow and go through a few more things before I was ready to undertake this responsibility and was mature enough to handle it.
Are there any resources that you'd recommend for people thinking about taking a similar path, starting their own company, or even just partnering with someone to join a startup?
I've got a couple. So if you're thinking about starting your own company, the startup podcast that I mentioned earlier from Gimlet Media is pretty awesome. They sit there and the first season is going through what they had to go through to start up, pitching to VCs, some of that stuff. Other seasons, they go through other people's startups. Sometimes it's following a different startup for a whole year. Sometimes it's a different startup an episode. So if you just go through, there's a lot of different things you learn. You find out about these different valleys of depression that these entrepreneurs go through, and you learn about some of the excitements and the highs and lows. That's pretty cool. There's another resource. It's called SCORE. It's an acronym. It used to stand for Service Corps of Retired Executives, but it's now like PHP. Like, I think it's basically its own word, but that's at score.org. You can get free and confidential small business advice for entrepreneurs, small businesses. It's a nonprofit resource from the Small Business Administration, and they hold events all the time. You can just go to them. People with tons of experience in this will make themselves available to you, mentor you, help you out. And the last one is, if you're local to the Columbus area where we are, there's the Dublin Entrepreneurial Center, the DEC, which is DECindublin.com. It's got a co-working space, but it also has lots of free workshops. There's lawyers, accountants there they hold, so you can get some free time, 15, 20, 30 minutes with a lawyer and get the most basic of advice and start building some relationships, get to know these people. Because one of the things you don't know is what you don't know. Getting in there and talking to these people at some of these events these places hold for free will help you to know what you don't know. So at least you know what to Google and tackle. And I'm sure there are similar things in your area if you're not in the Columbus area.
Is there anything else you'd like to promote before we wrap up the show?
Yeah, people can feel free to reach out to me as Pete on Software on Twitter, on my blog, PeteOnSoftware.com. I'm happy to talk to pretty much anyone about pretty much anything.
My guest today has been Pete Shearer. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Matt. It's been great.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2017. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Audacity, Skype, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy the music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com to submit your name and idea.